Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 357. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beautiful, empty white sand beaches and snorkeling coral reefs as we go to Samoa. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have three news stories for you. In the first one, America has a new national park, and that park is the former Pinnacles National Monument. And I mention it because it's not far from my hometown, and if you need some tips to the Pinnacles, let me know. In the second news story, an odd story coming from Transavia Airline, Dutch authorities said that a pilot on a 737 went to use the restroom, and when he came back to the cockpit, he couldn't get in. When he managed to get into the cockpit, he found the first officer was asleep. It didn't mention how he managed to get into the cockpit, but if you see a fake rock by the cockpit door, it just might be a hide-a-key. And in the final news story, a little bit of irony, a passenger was delayed 22 hours because a Thomas Cook flight that they were flying back from Tenerife had mechanical difficulties, and they sued the airline and became one of the first passengers to successfully sue for a delayed flight, whereupon they won compensation that was less than the airline had offered. Links to all three of those stories at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Jade Johnston from OurOyster.com, who's come to talk to us about Samoa. Jade, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I'm assuming that most people know that we're talking about an island in the Pacific, but could you put Samoa on the map for us?
Well, Samoa is a tiny island. It's actually two islands, and it is just north of New Zealand. Pretty much the most accessible way to get to it is from either New Zealand, Australia, or Fiji. I think there are no other direct flights to Samoa from anywhere else.
And we shouldn't confuse this with American Samoa.
No, although American Samoa is not far away.
Okay. And why should one journey to the remote islands of Samoa?
Well, if you're in the area, if you're in Fiji, New Zealand, or Australia, this is a perfect opportunity to see some of the Pacific islands. And Samoa is one of the most accessible. It's only a couple hours flight from Australia or New Zealand, which to some people might seem like it's a long way away. But if you're in Australia or New Zealand, it seems pretty close. And it's also just really, really easy for tourists. And especially if you're traveling alone or as a backpacker, it's just a really easy, safe place to visit.
Okay. And what are the highlights of Samoa? How long were you there, first of all?
I was there for just under 2 weeks. Okay. It doesn't take long to see everything that Samoa has to offer. The big island of Savai'i only takes a couple hours to drive around, and that's driving slowly. So you can go a lot quicker than I did, but it's a beach island paradise sort of destination. So you're going to want to spend some time lying on the beach, snorkeling, relaxing.
Is there a favorite beach or a favorite water activity while you were there?
Mostly it's snorkeling. The entire island almost is protected by a reef. So there are some spots for surfing if you're into that, but it's not really a surf destination. So mostly snorkeling around the reef, really safe beaches there. There are some hiking opportunities available, but not too many. Most people who go to Samoa are going there to lie on the beach.
Okay. And again, do you have a favorite beach in Samoa?
My favorite's definitely Lano Beach on the island of Savai'i. The island of Savai was by far my favorite and where I spent the most of the time. It's the larger island, but it has less of a population. Some of the places that I went to, I was the only one staying there. So you have this entire beach to yourself, beautiful white sand beaches, calm water. It's just absolutely gorgeous. The sunsets and sunrises were amazing. It's just an island paradise. It's what you think of when you think island paradise.
So this is a get away from it all kind of island vacation.
Yeah. This is off the beaten track. You can do the high-end resort thing if you want to, but most of it is just these family-run fales. So families that own property along the beachside have built these little huts called fales, basically little thatched huts that you can rent out. They usually include food as well. Most of them, pretty much all of them, will include your breakfast, although some of them will include breakfast and dinner. And my favorite on Lano Beach, called Jolan's Beach Fales, they include all three meals.
And when you say breakfast, lunch, and dinner, what kind of meals, what is typical Samoan fare?
Samoan food is very, very filling and hearty. So they eat a lot of taro root and breadfruit, which is very carby, with coconut cream sauce on top and lots of meat. The traditional cooking method is called umu, and it's a hot stone cooking method where they kind of dig a pit in the ground, heat up rocks as hot as they can, and then they put the food on the hot rocks and cover it with banana leaves to keep the heat in. And yeah, so it's very earthy, very full-flavored, very, very filling food. You're not going to go hungry in Samoa.
Well, and if I had a stereotypical picture of a Samoan in my head, the word svelte is not what they're known for.
No. Think rugby player, and then you've got the general Samoan population.
Okay. What else should we do in Samoa when we're done lying on the beach?
Well, there are some other opportunities. There's a place where you can go swimming with sea turtles, and there's a couple of volcanoes that you can hike up, and there's also some waterfalls as well to visit. But Samoa doesn't have a lot of attractions other than the beach. It's very, very small.
Okay. And let's talk about the other options that you mentioned, though. You said there's a place we can go swimming with sea turtles, and that's allowed, first of all.
Yeah, it's actually this family just has this kind of lagoon where they've got a couple of sea turtles, and you can go and pay them like a couple dollars and you can go swimming with the turtles there. And that is on the island of Savai near the beach of Manase, which is a pretty popular beach on the island of Savai. And it's just this family has created this little artificial lagoon area that's full of turtles, and you can go swim there for a couple dollars.
Okay. And are they raising turtles, releasing turtles back into the wild, or just, and I hate to say exploiting turtles, but someone is going to say that comment.
I don't know if they're raising them or capturing them. There's only a couple in there. Pretty much you just drive into this family's property, hand over a couple dollars, and then you don't see them again. So, but they seemed well fed. They seemed friendly and curious. They were swimming around us, and it seemed all right, although I'm sure some people might have a little bit of trouble with it.
And then you mentioned hiking volcanoes. I'm assuming we're not talking completely active volcanoes.
No, there is a volcano on the island of Savai that you can hike up. It's a pretty long hike, a pretty intense hike, and it's pretty hot there. So I didn't do it. It's about a half-day hike, and it's near where you do the turtle swimming, so near the beach of Manase.
Okay. And a lot of islands that have, I want to say, a more well-developed tourism would also do off-wheeled, four-wheel drive vehicle tours of the backcountry and things like that. How well-developed is Samoan tourism?
Samoan tourism is more well-developed than some of the other Pacific islands, but it's still not that developed. There are some five-star resorts where you can go and stay, but when it comes to kind of tourism backpacking activities, there's not a lot. There are some places where you can rent cars, even that there's not a lot of options. There aren't really any tours run, especially on the island of Savai. There's really not too much other than what the village might offer. On the island of Upolu, which is the main island and which is where you'll fly into, there are some tours. Urban Adventures has recently started up in Apia, the capital city. So there are some options there. I did a hike with Urban Adventures, a mountain that you can hike up. And on the top of it is Lake Lanato'o, and it's full of goldfish. Although when I was up there, I couldn't see anything, so it was very foggy. It was actually created by the Germans when the Germans were occupying Samoa as a tourist attraction. So you can hike up there. It's a pretty full-on hike. It had rained recently, so it was very muddy. I think I came back covered in mud after my hike. So that's one option. Tours, they have some other cultural tours available, but they've just recently started, but they are adding more things fairly often. So that's something to look into. But if you really want to go and do sort of a package tour thing or group tour thing, you're not going to find a lot of options in Samoa. Everything runs on island time, and you just kind of need to get used to that, relax, and just do what the locals do.
Okay. And then a couple questions, getting back to things you said. You mentioned there are resorts. Are those on both islands if somebody wanted a higher-end experience?
Yeah, that is available, but most of the accommodation options in Samoa are more these family-run resorts. Mm-hmm. So basically the family owns the land, and they build the little fales or cabins, and you stay there, rent from them, and you eat with the families, kind of almost like a homestay experience. That's what you'll usually find. But there are the resorts if you want to go that way, but then your price point is going to increase dramatically.
And what are the price difference between the two experiences, do you know?
Some of them can be $100-$200 a night if you want to go really high end.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously was staying in some of the cheapest options. I think the cheapest options where it would be about $20 a night, and that would usually include one to two meals.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Now, getting there itself, though, is, I would think, fairly expensive, or can you do that as part of an island hopping package on the way someplace?
You can. I know that Air Pacific, which is the Fijian airline, has a pass called the Bula Pass,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of like an island hopping pass. I did look into that, but it wasn't financially viable for me at the time. I just flew direct from Australia, and I think you can get round trip tickets from Australia for between $400 to $600.
Okay.
So it's not too bad considering that it is about a 4-hour flight, I believe, 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. And then you also mentioned, I think before we started recording, that you were using the Lonely Planet as your guidebook.
Yeah, I was using the Lonely Planet. Now, they only update these every few years, and things in Samoa change really, really quickly. I mean, most of the resorts and tourism activities are run by families, so names change, new families start up. The Lonely Planet is kind of just a basic guide.
Mm-hmm.
What a much better resource is the Jason's book, and that's actually just a free brochure pamphlet sort of guidebook that you can pick up at the airport when you arrive or at the tourist office in Apia. That's a lot more up to date. It's got phone numbers in it. I found a lot of the phone numbers for the resorts in the Lonely Planet had been changed. They were no longer valid.
Hmm.
So the Jason's map is really good. It's got lots of information in it. I found that combining the Lonely Planet with Jason's was the best way to go, but if you don't want to splurge on a Lonely Planet, you can get away with just picking up the free Jason's guidebook.
Okay. Language. What's the primary language here in Samoa?
They speak Samoan, but everybody speaks English.
Okay.
Everybody speaks English, even the children do. It's Samoa's a New Zealand protectorate, so all of the TV channels come from New Zealand. You can easily find your New Zealand news if you're after it on the Samoan TV. So English is really a part of their daily lives. You'll have no trouble getting around as an English speaker.
What was your biggest surprise with Samoa?
I think my biggest surprise was just how underdeveloped it was in tourism. You're not going to find hostels. Just there are none. But staying at the guest houses and fales are comparable in price. Really just getting around was a bit of a challenge. Public transport there is a bit of an adventure in itself, but definitely worthwhile. But yeah, don't expect things to run on any sort of time frame.
Now, is this one of the island cultures where you just stick out your thumb and hitchhike then to get around, or?
They do have buses. It's not a public bus system. They're all privately run.
Okay.
And they're these big, old, colorful buses. I think the different colors are indicative of what destination they're going to, but not always. You might just have to flag it down and ask. There are no bus stops. You just flag down the bus when it's coming by. And you can usually hear them coming because they play really, really loud, bad hip-hop remixes usually, or remixes of other popular songs, but really, really bad ones. So you'll hear them coming, flag them down, and then you pay when you get off the bus, and you indicate to the bus driver that you want to get off the bus by banging on the window as loud as you can.
to be heard so above the really bad hip hop. Okay.
Exactly. But the buses don't run on any schedule and they usually stop running in the early afternoon. So if you want to go somewhere, my strategy was to ask three or four different locals, when does the bus to this destination come by? And then average the answers that they gave me to some sort of time frame. And then I would go to the bus stop or the road about an hour before that time, just to wait and make sure. And sometimes then it didn't work. Sometimes the bus just didn't come, but usually I did get on the bus. Also, Samoa is a very, very religious Catholic country, mm-hmm. so nothing happens on Sundays. There are no buses on Sundays. You'll have a hard time even getting a taxi. So don't plan any travel days on a Sunday.
Okay. What's the best way to interact with the locals? Where should I go and what should I do if I wanted to meet people?
They're so friendly. It's such a friendly island culture. So you're going to have no trouble. You're going to be staying at guest houses and families that are family run anyways. So you're going to meet those people. But if you really want to get involved and see what it's like to live in a Samoan community, go to one of the church services on the Sunday. Okay. It's a really interesting experience. They're very, very loud and boisterous. They have lots of singing involved. But if you are planning to go to a church service, make sure you dress conservatively.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Best day you had in Samoa?
The best day I had was actually when I was taking the ferry from the main island to Savai'i. I met a Peace Corps volunteer from the States who was living in a little village in one of the corners of the island. So I exchanged contact information with him and ended up going to stay with him in his tiny little village. And the chief of the village ended up cooking a big umu feast for us that night. So it was a great cultural experience, hanging out with the chief's family, eating umu, helping prepare the umu, which is quite a process, involves a lot of chopping coconuts in half and other sorts of really difficult manual labor. And it was just really, really interesting. It was the most authentic experience I've had in the Pacific Islands.
Hmm. Picture, if you will, you're standing in the prettiest spot in Samoa. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
That would be at the Jolan Beach Fales on Lano Beach in Savai'i. The beach fales are these little thatch huts and they're built mm-hmm. right on the edge of the water. So when the tide comes in, the water actually comes underneath your little beach hut.
Hmm.
It's just amazing. So you're sleeping there and the water's like lapping up against the fale and you just wake up, lift your mosquito net, and then you've got an amazing sunrise or sunset or what have you. And it's just, I was the only person there in this deserted beach. Just, it was beautiful.
I'm picturing a maybe low rent version of what I would pay hundreds of dollars a night for in Tahiti or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Plus, all your meals are included as well, so it's a bonus.
Excellent. What else should people know before they go to Samoa?
One thing to know before you go to Samoa is if you're a female traveler, you need to dress conservatively.
Mm-hmm.
When you're at the beach resorts or at the fale, that's fine. Walk around in your bikini. That's not a problem. But do not do that if you're going into a village. You want to pack t-shirts instead of tank tops, pack longer dresses and skirts instead of short shorts. I wear leggings underneath my short shorts. You just want to be respectful to the local culture.
And cover sort of knees and shoulders.
Yeah, like don't wear anything too revealing just to respect the culture.
Okay.
If you're a man, you can get away with a bit more, but don't walk around topless.
Okay. When did you feel closest to home and when did you feel furthest from home?
I think in Apia, that's where you're going to find things that are the most familiar. That's the capital city, mm-hmm. although it's really just a small town. But you can get everything from home back there. They have supermarkets where everything's brought in from New Zealand. You're going to pay a pretty penny for it since mm-hmm. it's all imported. But you can get anything from home there. There's Western-style restaurants and nightclubs and all that sort of thing. And there's quite a large expat community in Apia if you want to have some English-speaking time or whatever. I found lots of couch surfers in there from Australia and Canada. So it was really good to get their perspective on it as being an expat living in Samoa. As for being furthest from home, I think that would be the time I waited 3 hours for the bus that never arrived and ended up having to hire a taxi to go halfway around the island. But that taxi ride still averaged out to be less than I would taking a cab home from a night out in Brisbane, Australia, where I live now. So it wasn't that bad.
Hmm. Now, here's a question for me. Since someday I want to turn this into a full-time job and lie on a beach and write blog posts, is there good Wi-Fi when I'm in one of the beach huts?
Oh,
that's what I was afraid of. Okay.
That depends on where you are. You can get Wi-Fi there. It's not impossible, but it is not cheap. Not cheap at all. The mobile network is actually pretty good and pretty cheap. I use Digicel, which I think is the cheapest SIM card you can buy. But even then, even when I was close to some of the towns, it was a matter of walking around with my hands up in the air as high as I could to try to send a text message. There are a few internet cafes on the island of Savai'i. There's only two places where you can use the internet, and one of them costs about $10 an hour. So be prepared to spend a bit of money if you want to spend a couple hours on the internet. In the island of Opulu, it's a bit more developed. So in Apia, there is an internet cafe that's about $4 an hour, which seemed amazingly cheap to me at the time, but still is a bit expensive.
The most memorable person you met?
Probably some of the taxi drivers I had there. It's a small place, so I would meet with one taxi driver, go somewhere, and then every time they drove by me, they'd stop to say hello. Oh, how are you? Where are you going? Do you want a taxi? No. Okay, well, here's my phone number. Call me if you ever need a taxi. And I ended up having so many of these little conversations with the same taxi driver that I ended up getting the most epically good deal taxi to the airport. Because I just called him up and I was like, hey, this is all the money I have left. I know it's less than half of what the normal fare is, but can you take me to the airport? And yeah, he did. So that was a bonus.
One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Samoa.
Trying to do anything on a Sunday and just finding it completely impossible, giving up and just eating all day instead. Do as the locals do. All they do on Sundays is church and eat a giant midday feast and then have a nap. So why not do the same?
Excellent. Before we get to our last two questions, anything else we should know before we head off and go lie on the beach in Samoa?
Don't expect to have a really active holiday. Don't expect to have a tight schedule. What you can expect, though, is to lie on a beach, have lots of fresh coconuts, and meet a lot of really friendly people.
Excellent. And you know our last two questions? Finish this sentence. You really know you're in Samoa when what?
When you hear a public bus coming from about 2 miles away from the really bad hip-hop remixes, it's blaring out.
And if you had to summarize Samoa in three words, what three words would you use?
Coconuts, beaches, and really friendly locals.
I believe that last one may have been more than one word, but we'll let you get
more,
away with it.
More than one word.
Jade Johnston has been our guest. And Jade, where can people hear more about your travels?
My blog is ouroyster.com, and you can also find me on Twitter at @our_oyster and on Facebook at @ouroyster.
Okay, but I have to get you to explain your oyster.
You know, the world is your oyster.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I have to explain it to everybody. I probably didn't pick the best name, but...
Yeah, you're talking to somebody named Amateur Traveler. Really, let's not get into that. Thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing with us your love of Samoa.
Thanks for having me.
In news from the community, we learned that the This Week in Travel podcast again won a North American Travel Journalism Award. This year, a silver instead of a gold in the broadcast category. But if you haven't listened to that show, you might give it a listen. We are also doing that show as a video show now, as a Google Hangout. So if you want to watch it, you are also welcome to do so. And you can find This Week in Travel episodes on the Amateur Traveler as well. I received this piece of email from Edwin about the Santa Fe episode. I really enjoy your show and have been listening for a long time to both the Amateur Traveler podcast and This Week in Travel. I appreciate all the great travel information and interesting guests you have on the show. I just finished listening to the Santa Fe podcast and really enjoyed your interview with Billy Frank. I spent 4 months working in Santa Fe a few years ago and share many similar experiences as your guest. I thought it was funny when she mentioned how locals do things in their own time. I enjoyed many things about Santa Fe, but the town had the worst service of any place I've ever been. I enjoyed the food a lot, but the service drove me crazy. You know you're in Santa Fe when the service in the restaurant is so bad you expect someone with a hidden TV camera to come out and let you in on the joke. Thanks for all you do on the show, Edwin. Edwin, thanks for that feedback, and Billy, you're not alone. Lars commented on the episode on Guatemala. Since I just got back from an overland trip from Antigua to Mexico City, I really enjoyed Shannon's report. Unlike her, I had a fantastically different experience in Chichicastenedo. By chance, I visited on December 21st, 2012, and experienced the Mayan New Year Festival. The town was bursting at the seams with locals and maybe only 20 to 30 tourists. The rest might have fled from the crowds, and it was one of the best days of the trip. Very colorful, unbelievably noisy, even by Guatemalan standards, who think nothing about having competing trucks with loudspeakers play music any time, day and night, while lighting fireworks. It also featured the most insane carnival ride I've ever seen, constructed with an 80-foot pole and some hemp ropes. And Lars has also included a movie, which I will include in the show notes. And Lars, thanks so much for writing. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. Fortunately, my voice is mostly back, so you didn't have to suffer through what I sounded like last week. I have an interesting announcement on a new sponsorship for The Amateur Traveler coming up soon, but I can't tell you just this week. If you have any feedback for The Amateur Traveler, feel free to send me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave it as a comment on the episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And if you don't want to miss an episode of The Amateur Traveler, feel free to subscribe to it on iTunes or your favorite podcast catcher. And as always, thanks so much for listening.